brought me back to be your pastor.
The surfer's got to get out there to where the wave is. But in order to catch the wave, you got to start pedaling. You don't just sit there and wait for God to move. You start moving in faith. I promise you, God's going to show up. You start moving in faith. I promise you, God's going to show up. Why? Because that's who He is. Because that's who He is. And so if you've got your Bible this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to the awesome book of Ezekiel. And I'd like you to stand while we're reading the Word. Isaiah chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm all over the place. I ain't even got started yet. Father, I thank You for the anointing that abides in us. He is truth. God, we give ourselves this morning to truth. We surrender ourselves because You have made us free. And we surrender ourselves to the anointing that breaks every chain, every yoke. We surrender to the anointing which is truth. And we give ourselves to the life that is in Your truth this morning. Father, in Jesus' name. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Afterward, He brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house and at the south side of the altar. Then brought He me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. You can be seated. There's going to be a lot of other scriptures. It's interesting that most everybody that I've ever heard minister from this setting of Scripture ministers about life in the Spirit. But I want to turn that around this morning, and if I was going to title this message this morning, it would be, How Deep Is Your Yes? Can your yes be measured? How deep is your yes? Because as I think about my life in Christ, as I think about what the Holy Spirit is doing and has done, do you know that there are individuals that are walking in purpose about up to their ankles? Come on. Walking in purpose about up to their ankles. And then there's those that walk in purpose about up to their knees and then up to their thighs. But the purpose of God will take you to a place you can't navigate.
That's right.
And what's interesting is that when we look at the writer of this passage of Scripture, if you follow my thinking, he didn't stop at the ankles. He said, wait a minute, I got to measure again. And he measured another. And then he measured again. and he measured again, because God is going to always stretch us. But since this is an Old Testament scripture, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I love the chapter or the book of Ephesians. It is absolutely incredible. And in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height." There's a river there, folks. He wants us to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And then he goes beyond that. He says, "I want you to know the love of God, which passes knowledge." He wants to take us to a place that goes beyond our knowledge, beyond our comprehension. I got a picture this morning as we were worshiping. How many have seen those paintings of the rapture of the church? I want to start speaking in tongues here. How many have seen that, those pictures? The rapture hasn't taken place yet. But in Christ, when Christ was raised from the dead, everyone that was born again was raised with him. Shaka babaka. Raised with him. Now the Bible says, get to this later on, it says in Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 12, it says that we possess all this because of the faith of the operation of God. In faith of the operation of God. This is something that's happened. It took place. We were raised with him. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And so I want to have you to understand that God wants us to comprehend beyond where we are. Beyond where we've been. Beyond what we've seen. It doesn't. I'm 64 years young. I tell a lot of people, I am 64 going on 20. I'm telling you, one of my favorite scriptures, and I didn't even write this down this morning because it's one of my favorite. He has satisfied my mouth with good things so that my youth will be renewed as the eagles. Shakaba, it is truth. John told us in the book of one of his third letters, he said, "I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth." What's that mean? It means that I've learned that a young guy when I was first saved and I was talking about witnessing. He said, "Brother Cass, I just don't know if I can tell anybody about Jesus." I said, "Are you born again?" Let me take that back. I'll ask you a different question. If you died and they threw you in a cave and by the power of God you rose up from that dead place and were able to walk out of that cave, would you be able to tell anybody about Jesus? He said, "Oh yeah." Well, guess what? That's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what's happened. Scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we need to spend more time encouraging ourselves because of the truth of God than trying to figure out whether God really meant it or not. That's free. Hallelujah. According to the power that worketh in us. Now, Colossians 2:12. And I'm going to read it so that you can see it. You got it up there. Yeah. Something happened in baptism because it's an answer of a good conscience toward what our God already did. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Now I've got one more scripture, and then I'm going to tell you a little story. A life story. Because God is interested in life. Amen? You'll find it in Romans chapter 6. I know a lot of us have read this, but a lot of folks don't understand what it means. A lot of folks don't understand what it means. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I never had to go. I was into drugs and alcohol and different things. I wasn't one. You know, mom and dad did their best to raise me in church, but it was kind of just like religious things. And I can remember the pastor saying things that were just opposite from Scripture. So I didn't have any time for it. So anyway, Jesus came into my life. I didn't have to go through a 12-step program because I believe the program of God is a one-step program. I step out of depth. I step out of death and destruction and sin and darkness, and I take one step into the glory and the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. And that word reckon it to be so. Amen. That's what amen means. It is so. It's so. Argument's done. Argument's over. I knew the guy one time was a drug dealer. And after he got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, people would call up and ask for him. He's dead. He don't live here no more. I've actually got a song that I wrote one time that said, says that I've been changed. I've got a new place to live in. I don't live there no more. I don't live there no more. I live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's a river. Whatever our purpose in life, in Christ, it is measured with relationship to God's purpose in Christ Jesus and his resurrection. Amen? I need to say that again. Whatever our purpose is in life, in Christ, we're born again. Whatever our purpose is, it is measured by God's purpose in Christ Jesus. It's measured by God's purpose in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to share a little story with you. When I got saved, I tell a lot of people, it was like sticking this boy's finger in a 220-volt light socket. The night that I asked Jesus into my heart, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was praying. Now, what happened was, and I could go on and on, we'd be here for 4 or 5 hours, but I'm going to try to condense it for you. What had happened was, I had a guy that I worked with that was just a young kid, and he was always happy, always singing, always had something, and he was saved. And he asked me to a Sunday eating picnic at his church, Old Southern Baptist Church up in Wichita, Kansas. Long story short, I went there for the food, got saved. But there's something really, really weird because, God, let me tell you, God's purpose will take you beyond your experience. God's purpose will take you beyond your experience. Don't ever measure the truth of that word according to your experience. Don't ever measure. And so
here I was at that Baptist church, and they asked, and they did the altar call, and I stepped out, and I thought, what am I doing? And I stepped back in. Before I knew it, I was up in the front. And this Baptist church, I guess they had not had somebody ask the Lord into their life for so long, they forgot how to do it. Because the pastor asked the deacon, he said, pray with him. So I got down on the front porch, or front pew there, and I started, I knelt down, and the deacon kept going, I'm like, what? And he was trying to get me to, you know, pray or something. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I have no idea. We didn't pray. But I did get up, and the pastor said, yay! I'm like, what? 1 o'clock that morning, though, God in his purpose made me open up that family Bible that I kept on the table and did all my drugs right there, right next to the Bible. And I got that Bible out, and I set myself on the middle of the floor, and I began to read. And right in the middle of Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord. God's purpose is for us to see what we have not seen. To see, to hear what we have not heard. To comprehend what we haven't comprehended. And if you reckon it to be so, God will take you beyond your wildest dreams. Just about the time the angels were going back and forth and saying, whom shall I send? Who'll go for me? I didn't see Isaiah there anymore. I began to weep and to cry. God, I'll go. It was like all heaven was waiting. Answer it, Cass. Answer the phone. So I just began to cry out. God took me beyond that to someplace else. That very next day, that very next night, because I had to work the next day, the very next night, I had not had 1 ounce of Bible training, not 1 ounce of Bible training. I walked the entire distance all the way around Wichita, Kansas, telling everybody that I could find about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's available. And it's not mentally fit.
Well, come on.
It's given up. Well, fast forwarding. Now I'm going to pastor a church, and I'm going to preach the gospel to all the world, and I'm going to do all this stuff, and I had my mind on it, and I was going. And I had a place I was going to start a church. Now, folks, I believe in the local church. I believe in the church of God. I believe in what God has raised up in the earth. But I felt at the time I didn't have time for all that. So here I was, I still wet under the collar. And I found a place where I could pastor. I talked to the real estate agent. She just gave me the building. She said, just go on ahead. And as you get the money, just pay for it as you get it. I was like, yeah. So at a prayer meeting, we're talking about the river. We're talking about how deep is your yes. Okay? I was engaged in the yes. Now I thought I was all up to here in it. I thought I was all up to here in it. And we had a prayer meeting. And so anyway, I was down at this prayer meeting. Everywhere I went that during that time of mine, I didn't have a car. I walked everywhere. I prayed for everybody I could put my hands on. I actually took a job as a taxi cab driver so I could get somebody in the back seat as a prisoner so they could hear the gospel. Amen. And so here I was in this life flow. I thought I was up to here. And believe it or not, I was just to the ankles. Isn't that amazing? I was in that river, and I thought, man, I'm in this thing. And it was only up the ankles, maybe the shins. And so we had this prayer meeting. Now, there was this woman in town that wanted that building. And she wanted to start a church, and she never heard of Pastor Johnson. Why? Because nobody ever heard of Pastor Johnson. I was new on the scene. So she said, I got to go find this guy. So she comes down and she finds me at this prayer meeting. And she stays at the prayer meeting. She says, now I got to go take care of my daughter. And you don't have a ride home, do you? I said, no. And it didn't matter to me. It was 10 o'clock. I was going to walk the 10 miles because it was 10 miles where I live. And I was going to find somebody that needed to hear the gospel in those 10 miles. You know, but anyway, she went ahead. She said, well, I'll give you a ride home, but I got to go get something for my daughter to eat. That was this young lady right here. Now, during that time in my life, I thought the only thing important was telling people about Jesus. I didn't want no woman. I didn't want no girlfriend. I didn't want no wife. I didn't want no more kids because I already had some. I wanted to be like Paul. And I wanted to just preach the gospel everywhere. But there was another individual that was measuring with a measuring line. And he was taking me somewhere. He was introducing me to something called purpose. He was introducing me. And I began to have questions about my yes. You see, because in just a matter of, I've met that woman. One day, 7 days later, I told her I loved her. And 7 days after that, after a good argument with God, I asked her to marry me. She was in the car. She witnessed it. Because of God, you know what's interesting? You don't have to go to Bible college to hear from Jesus. You don't have to go to some special class. Because he's in you. And just like a sponge as you stick in the water, It fills every pore. All you have to do is begin to respond to him. So, at any rate, the Lord began to say, that's her. And when he first began to tell me that's her, I remember standing in her mama's house looking out the front door with one of those little triangle windows, and I was weeping my eyes out while they were having a family reunion in the other room. And I'm going, God, what are you doing to me? He says, you're going to marry her. Oh, my God. Well, long story short, after a good argument, and I did, didn't I? I'm driving her car. I did have a license, but I'm driving her car. We pull up by the house, and I'm going, oh, God says, you know what I told you? I said, I know what you said. And he said, I know you know what I said. She didn't hear that part. And then I answered it back, I know that you know that I know. And so I looked at her and I said, can we take a drive? And she said, yeah. And so now what's interesting about this is when God begins to move, you don't only get the go-so in your heart and in your mind. You begin to feel this thing. It just begins to press. Some people call it the oil press because they think about Gethsemane. Father, your will, not mine. And so there's a place Holy Ghost says, this is what you've been called for. This is where I'm calling you. And so you feel the pressure of that calling. You begin to feel that pressure. And anyway, long story short, we got married. And we had kids. And I pastored and I went through other different things. But it's God's desire. It was God's desire for his purpose in me to touch more than just me. Because it's his desire that we raise up sons and daughters unto the Most High. God was teaching me that he wanted me to become a man. Not just a child of God. He wanted me to be a man of God. And he wanted me to have a relationship with him so deep that I could give it to my children so that they could give it to their children. And we're going to go back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Because I love Ephesians so much. It would be good for some of us to get in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and just chew on it.
chew on it. Verse 11. In whom, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. According to the purpose, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. John chapter 15, verse 16. This is another one of those scriptures that just helped to fan the flames of what God was doing in my life. Because I was able to take it and get a hold of it and chew on it, and it was mine. It was mine. And there's a lot of people in different churches that, you know, they argue with us over it, but the fact is, it's the truth. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And then he goes on and he says, I have ordained you. Now let's be real honest. Are there times when the enemy tries to convince you he's not? Are there times when the enemy tries to convince you the Lord really didn't know what he was saying? Because maybe he didn't know the you that you'd think you know? But there's a mystery that Paul talked about in Ephesians, the mystery. And the mystery is, what do you really look like in Jesus? Oh, come on. What do we really look like in Jesus? James talks about a mirror that we can look at and see something. We can see something. Now, the Bible also says that when we behold him in his glory, what happens? We're changed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. And what, into what kind of image? Into the same image. Into the same image of Jesus Christ. James said there's a mirror we get to look at. And there's a place in God where he says, I will... And guess what? One of the miracles of all of that is he gets to do that. We get to have that being done. We get to connect with people. We get to see God in other people. Stand with me. God's called us and chosen us in him